Hello and welcome back to Life Lessons. In today's episode, I am joined by Siobhan Murray, and Siobhan is the founder of 23 The Agency, which is the agency I work with, and she's also one of the founders of Mantra Official. So in this episode, we speak about the best way to do influencer marketing, how it actually can benefit the brand, the creator and the consumer. But I also wanted to learn more about creating a product-led business like Mantra and doing all this while juggling family life. So once again, this episode is sponsored by Whoop. I'm sure you know by now that Whoop is a wearable fitness tracker that specializes in breaking down your recovery, sleep and workouts while also helping you to manage your overall health and well-being. And for me, the reason I find it most beneficial is to maximize the amount of rest and recovery I can get to allow me to live a full life, especially while pregnant, because my sleep is already quite interrupted. So by measuring the different stages of sleep that I have had, as well as my heart rate variability, I can then decide how hard to push myself in training. And after collecting data for several months, I can see these trends forming, and I've learned a lot about the benefits of rest and recovery when necessary, as well as the benefits of challenging myself when suitable. So if you would like to get started with tracking your health, wellness and fitness at a deeper level today, go to join.whoop.com/Siobhan to get your first month free and a free Whoop 4.0 device. So I'll have that link in the show notes, and I hope you enjoy this episode. So Siobhan, great name.
Yes.
Founder or CEO, what would you call it? CEO?
Founder, director, CEO, jack of all trades.
Yeah, of 23 The Agency.
Yes.
Mantra.
Mantra Official.
Mantra Official.
Yeah.
So take us back. I think that's the best way to understand your experience and how you ended up where you are now.
Yeah.
Take us back to...
How far back will we go? Childhood?
Well, you're talking about Australia and how you had an idea that you wanted to work for Penny/Primark.
Yeah. So basically, I studied accountancy and finance in DIT, Andrew Street. That's where I met my husband, Owen. He works in the businesses as well. And everybody was going down very much an accounting or a finance route. And I just knew I didn't belong in either of those. So I didn't know what to do. I always felt like, what next? So I didn't do a master's. I actually, would you believe, full circle, I applied for a master's in PR, got accepted. We were on our J1 and I came back and I went to the first class, but hadn't paid for it. And I knew somewhere in the back of my mind there was a reason why I hadn't paid for this master's. So I went to the first class, and long story, my grandmother got sick, so I had to leave the class, and I never ended up doing the course. But now, like, the business I run, we offer PR and marketing services.
Yeah, so it's full just, circle.
It's, some things are meant to be. It's just a different path how you get there. So after studying accounting and finance, I decided I wanted to go into more of the fashion world and creativity. So buying was on my radar. And at the time, I suppose Dunnes Stores and Primark, there was Awear, Brown Thomas.
Oh, yeah,
they were
well,
all the kind of buying offices that you could get jobs in. So I wanted Primark. I wanted to work there. So I started to apply, and I was just temping all over Dublin doing office work, reception, secretary work. Just to get some experience after college. And I applied to Primark so many times that one of their HR managers rang me one day to say, Siobhan, thank you so much for your application again, but you actually don't have the required experience to take on an admin or trainee buyer role in this business. And like, I'd recommend you go get that. So I actually went then and got a job in a drinks distributors in the sales departments, which that was going to give me sales, logistics, kind of critical path experience. So I did that. Then I went over to London, took a week's annual leave, went to London, did a certificate in a short course in buying in London College of Fashion. Had to borrow the money for that off my friend Sarah because I didn't have the £800 to pay for that. Paid her back that a few months later. And then that was September, October time. That Christmas roles came back up in Primark, applied for them, got it, was working there by the February. And that was the start of my buying career. So I spent 2.5 years in Penny's in the buying office. I worked across men's footwear, accessories, kids' accessories, ladies' footwear. Then myself and my then boyfriend, now husband, went off traveling. We did Southeast Asia, Australia for a couple of years. But my career was always like yanking at my heart. So I was working in retail over there, and I really desperately wanted to get back to Primark. So I we didn't cut our time short, but we probably could have stayed longer. But came back to get back to Primark. So went back there and was there for another 18 months, and I joined the beauty department. And whilst I was in the beauty department, my eyes were open to this beauty industry in Ireland that's not just say Primark, Dunn's, or some of the say pharmacies. There's like luxury beauty, there's all these different levels. So I actually from there went on to work for Air Rianta in Dublin Airport and bought for the luxury beauty counters there, which was so nice. Lots of lovely samples. So the perfume lasted a couple of years. So yeah, I did that for a while, but it was like the pace of Primark. Australia had taught me to really value your work-life balance. And in Primark, I was really giving it probably too much. And then I went to the airport and I almost felt the opposite. I felt like I couldn't get the pace right. It was either too fast, too slow. So while I had been at Primark, I had met Suzanne Jackson. I had listed her nail polish when I was the beauty buyer. And we had kind of developed a very sort of like introductory relationship at that stage. So I then contacted her and her business partner at the time and suggested we meet and maybe go for coffee and basically presented myself to them to say, why don't I come on board and help you grow Sosu Cosmetics and help get the kind of products to market a bit faster and grow that team. So that's what I did. So that kind of happened all very fast, joined their business and spent the next 3 years then working alongside Suzanne, growing Sosu and launching Drip and Gold to the market. During that time, I was working with a lot of influencers and I was negotiating a lot of contracts for like big product collaborations with UK creators and influencers and celebrities in Ireland as well. And I suppose I identified an opportunity for somebody to start an agency where there was a real care factor given to the relationship between the agency, the creator, and also the brand. So like a full, very holistic approach to it.
Yes.
So then 23 The Agency was born, and that was in 2019.
And did you do that alongside your role at Sosu, or did you then step away immediately when you set up 23?
Good question. It was actually a little bit of both. So I spoke to Suzanne around the July time and said, I think I'm going to do this thing. And she wholeheartedly supported and said, obviously, we're going to miss you terribly. But I always knew you'd want to do your own thing eventually. So we did like a 6 month kind of exit strategy. So I did 3 months full time and then went down to a 2 or 3 day week for like the next 3 months. So I kind of properly exited then in the January of 2020.
Yeah. And like listening to that whole career so far, there's so much I want to ask, because I know a lot of people are listening because they just want to hear about influencer marketing and like how much money they make and everything. But I have so many questions around actual business, like that, you know, maybe selfishly I want to ask about and learn about. How did you find, obviously your background in accounting and finance is, did you use any like financial strategy and stuff in the buy when you're in the buying for retail? Like, is there a lot of strategy involved there?
Yeah, definitely. Buying is actually very analytic driven.
Yeah.
Now there is a merchandise function as well that kind of complements buying, and in a business like Primark, the buying and merchandising sit hand in hand together. So the buyer develops the products and then the merchandising department sort of controls the purse strings as such, identifies when there is money available to buy more stock, identifies when we need to kind of like hold the reins there, and we need to sell through what we currently have. So they work really well together. And then some buyers are much more product focused, and then some buyers have that analytical mind. I was the analytical mind one. So I was never going to be a high fashion buyer. I was this buyer who was really good at controlling that core business and making sure that we were never out of stock of certain items. So I kind of almost leaned into that merchandising side, which I think was probably my accountancy and finance background.
Yeah, I mean, to make it, because I studied finance in college as well, and I was like, I'd never thought of that it was even an option to end up in an industry like that. Well, look where I am now. didn't exactly,
you know, I just think you follow your gut and you'll eventually get the path that you're supposed to be on. And there's a reason why you'll have done something in your past that you might not understand until way later in your life.
Yeah, even doing the trackers for the furnace, like I'd be working on like a little formula for my clients and I'm like, oh, that degree finally paid off.
I know. Yeah, I'm definitely a spreadsheet queen. Like, I love a spreadsheet.
I really think they should have just taught that in school.
Like
life, yeah, that's
and driving. That and driving. I only learned to drive when I was 29.
Really?
Yeah, really.
I was 19
late.
I thought I was late.
I was 10 years later, Siobhan, so yeah.
Oh, they snagged up. I was going to say people from Dublin, but you're not from Dublin.
I know, I'm from the country. I'm from Cavan. So
what's your excuse?
I don't like to live with any regrets, because everything teaches you something. But honestly, not learning to drive until 29 is definitely a regret.
How did you get around at home?
I moved to Dublin when I was 17. Yeah, so and it. I never really moved back home ever.
Yeah.
Like maybe weekends here and there, but I was here and I walked everywhere or got Dublin bus everywhere.
Yeah. No, so I think once you're in Dublin, I mean, it doesn't feel like that after coming from London. I still feel like the public transport here has needs a bit of work. But I mean, you definitely, I don't need a car. Like I'm looking at getting a car and I'm kind of like trying to justify all the costs.
I know, it's the cost.
Even things like GoCar now, there's one outside there. You can rent it for an hour.
Like convenience of that is like excellent.
Sorry, that sounds like not an ad.
Should be.
Actually, and that would move us nicely into like something like that. You know, there's brands that, I mean, so just a bit of background. You were looking after Sinead as her agent.
Yes, Sinead Hegarty.
And I was with other agencies and I could see the care that you were putting into lining up brands that really aligned well with Sinead.
Yeah.
And I just found that really, I was like, can I get involved? And I think you were only had a handful of influencers that you were working with. And that was important because you wanted to be able to give value to both the influencers, the brands, and making sure that the collaboration is a one that works for all parties.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, maybe there's other agencies that have so many people on board that if you're not like top of their list, you kind of get left behind.
Yeah.
Or unless a brand comes looking directly for you, which does happen, obviously, you know, the way, if you know, if a brand approaches me now or in the past, I would always say to talk to my agent to do the chats. But you know, it kind of felt like a bit of a waste to me sometimes. Like it was kind of, they were only getting the work if I was bringing it to them. Whereas now with 23 and like, thankfully you agreed to take me on. Now I feel like you'll come to me, like this brand works well. And you know, people that I wouldn't, that haven't come to me directly, but
yeah,
you feel
we do,
are a good
fit.
We
do our own outreach for who we think is a good fit for our talent.
So let's talk about from the starting process. Like we would have sat down and you would have said, okay, talk to us about what you use, what you like, what you dislike, what you would be willing to work with, what brands I already worked with.
Yeah.
You know, for example, like MyProtein.
Yeah.
Been working with them for years. And so then you know not to come to me with
sportswear. We're not going to come to you with another brand of leggings and say, hey, do you want to promote them next week? You know, Siobhan, we know I work with MyProtein for how many years?
Six, seven years, this year. Yeah.
Well, I mean, at the very start of 23, I was on my own. So I made the decision to started, there wasn't really a capital investment needed. It's a service-based business. So I just needed to give it my time. So it was just me. So I was doing all of the management of the talent, the brands, trying to build up a name for myself, get sort of some sort of a website kind of ready. And then I was doing all the invoicing myself, all the financing, all that stuff. So at the very start, I think I launched with about 6 or 7 influencers. It was really small. And we now only have 23, which is funny, 23 and 23.
And no more.
but it's essentially, I call it boutique style.
Yeah.
Because we're not, we don't sign talent very regularly. And kind of at the start of the year, this year, we sat down together as a team. So we're now a team of 5. And we sat down to talk about what do we think our resource is for talent this year? And what is the, who do we want to work with? So if we're going to work with somebody, what does their audience insights, what does their profile look like? Because there's no point in us having 3 of the same type of person, because then we're just going to dilute that work. So we want to make sure that we're always getting work for our talent, and everything, again, very holistic. So it was me at the start. Now we're a team of 5. So whoever I worked with, it just needs to feel right. So like I said earlier, I really have gut instinct and I rely on that. So I always say, let's meet for a coffee and let's talk together first before we commit to one another, because it's a two-way thing. It's not just me looking for new talent for the agency and kind of handpicking. It's a relationship, and hopefully it's going to be a relationship that we're in for years. So it's just really important to put the groundwork in to make sure that we fit together.
Yeah, so far so good.
Yeah, so far so good, exactly.
And looking at the actual process, because you know you have to make sure. See, I've seen a lot of brand deals. I mean, people, I think when a big thing that I see what people do wrong is that they don't respect that their followers, the trust of their followers.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll see brand deals that, and I think I've been very lucky that I have my own business, that it's never been something I had to be like, okay, I need to do more collaborations. You know, it's always been, a bonus for me. So like if something fit really well, but I think you do see it online that people are like, why did they do that? Or like, yeah, what were they thinking? And you know, it's like the money might have been really good. For me personally, like I have to, you know, I've turned down stuff because I really have to put the value in my followers. I think the trust.
Oh, it's imperative.
Trust is the best value that I have. So yeah, like you could take a really good deal now, but people will know, like they'll know that you don't use it, or they'll know that it's inauthentic in some way. Yeah, and then so you lose that trust and then you can't get another deal like that again. So I think playing the long game and using that as the kind of the
benchmark.
Of like, okay, will I actually use it or will they benefit?
So that's the number one most important thing to me in 23 when I started was I wanted to grow slowly and organically. I wanted to make sure authenticity was always there. Because I find myself to be an authentic person. And so when I'm sitting here chatting with you, you know, even before we start recording the podcast, we're having a really good, authentic chat together. We're honest and transparent together. So that has to be apparent in an influencer that works with us. So a creator or someone who wants to work with us, if I've already been their audience for the last 5-6 years and I haven't engaged with them, it's unlikely that we're going to work together.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like I even find if I get offered or like some, you know, I might even have someone be like, hey, can you share my business on your thing? And like, it might, for me, that obviously doesn't cost me anything, but I have to, and like, I've had friends, you know, who I've had to say like, listen, I don't know if my followers will benefit from your business yet. Like say they're just launching something new and I have to be like, I don't know if it'll benefit my followers. I really value their trust. So yeah. I'm not just going to tell them to sign up to your new business.
Yeah.
And I've, you know, obviously people have been upset with me over it. But again, it's like, I just need to value the trust that people put in me.
Yeah.
And I've had, you know, even with my protein, they'll send me stuff. And I'm like, I don't like that. I'm not sharing it. And they'll respect that. And, you know, it's better than me telling everyone it's great. And then people buy it and they'll be like, well, I'm not trusting anything she says again.
Yeah.
And I think actually transparency obviously is really important when it comes to influencer marketing. Or do you call it feel like, you know, influencer's a dirty word, but even what you said there, talent, I was like,
we refer to you guys as our talent. Most of you guys are our friends at this stage. But yeah, transparency is really important. And so like to talk through, say, the process of how a collaboration can work. It's different because sometimes, like you said, a brand might reach out directly to you, then you'll pass that inquiry on to us. Or sometimes we've done some outreach because we know there's a brand that you're really keen to work with because you adore the product or the service. So, but the first thing we do is we speak to that brand and we find out what their objectives are. So we find out what are they looking to achieve from this piece of content that we will put out. And then from that, we'll give our opinion as to what the content should be. Like, should it be a Instagram story? Should it be a TikTok? Should it be a YouTube? And maybe it's a reel followed by a set of stories a couple of days later. And then we'll take that to you guys and we'll kind of tell you where we've got to. We were like, we've spoke to this brand. This is their objective. This is what they want to achieve. We're looking at this piece of content. We think we're going to put out on this date. How does that sit with you? How does that make you feel? We'll then take your feedback on board and your ideas, perhaps possibly for how the content might look and feel. Bring that back to the brand, talk to them again, get their buy-in. Then it becomes kind of like, right, we're doing it. We lock it in, we get a date in place, and we send you guys a brief if it's part of the campaign. And then you guys go and you record that piece of content, send it back to us. We're very involved in every part of it.
That's actually one of the best things for me is that you actually like, and you'll be like, have you got that piece of content? And I'm like, oh yeah, yeah. Like even just managing the calendar.
Even things like typos or, you know, actually you've missed that part that was really important, or could you pop that on copy on screen? That's the service that we give, and that's why that's why we can only stay.
And you do that. Sorry to cut across you, but you do that without, like, I know Enya will say, look, I'm not even going to send that to the brand yet. You need to fix this because I know, like, obviously she's respecting the brand, what they need, and not just sending them over anything.
Yeah, and that's, you
know,
our reputation.
Say, I know that the brand. She's like, I've worked with that brand before. I know that they like to have this on the screen.
Yeah.
So can you stick that on before we send it? You know, like it's that kind of back and forth. Obviously, it's time and effort for you guys, but it does pay off.
Pays off in the long term, because for us as an agency, relationships are like the single most important thing. And what that gives us is our reputation in the industry. So yeah. I like to think that 23 has a really good reputation for relationships, for feedback, for being flexible. Flexibility is another thing that we like pride ourselves on. So, for example, a brand might have committed to a brief for a piece of content with you, Siobhan. And you'll go ahead and you record that, send it over. And then the next day they realize, oh my God, that sold out, that piece of product or whatever they were promoting. It's no longer relevant to their business. We could either say, well, that's not our issue. Like, that's what we agreed to. So this was going up. Or we could say, okay, let's work together. Let's go back. Let us go back to Siobhan and see what we can do. And sometimes that requires a whole new reshoot. That's going to build our relationship with that brand long term. They're going to be so grateful, appreciate that. And that's probably going to lead to more work for all of us in the future. So flexibility again is another really important value for us.
So yeah, I'm always worried, like, is this even, like, sometimes obviously the money is good for it. We don't need to go into all these figures. I know probably everyone's like, how much exactly do you get for everything?
But well, there's no set price on influencer marketing. You know, the budget that will apply for a campaign, for a piece of content, varies across creators, depending on following, engagement, platform. And we, as an agency, we don't do rate cards.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I always get asked from a brand, but like, hey, we really want to work with you. Have you got a rate card? I'm like, well, it depends what you want. It depends. You know, obviously, that's why you guys exist. It's like you chat, talk about what you want from it. And then that's when you can start putting a price on it.
Very clear on what the deliverables are and how long the relationship is going to be for. Is this a one-off, or are we going to work together on this for the next 3 months, 6 months, 12 months? Take everything into consideration, exclusivity, usage rights, all these little things that actually are, and I think this is the benefit of having an agency, is you guys are creators. Like, so sometimes all this admin side of things can kind of like dampen your creativity. So we take care of all that and let you guys go and do your thing. Now you're obviously, you are also a business person. So you run the furnace, which gives you a sort of an edge on that kind of inside business element.
Well, I mean, I'm so fascinated by businesses. And that's why I want to talk to you about Mantra as well. But there was just one more thing I was going to say about Bill. Oh yeah. So yeah, just making sure, I'd be more worried about making sure the client is happy, you know, to creating the content to make sure that it's what they want, because sometimes I'm like, are they actually getting that much value out of it? You know, but they obviously are. And that's why there's an industry, because I mean, you obviously see people complaining about it as well. Then like, why are they getting paid to do that? Or what, or, you know, why are they getting sent that for free? And it's like, the businesses aren't just being nice to us. Like, it's a huge industry.
It's a huge industry. Yeah. Like
they see the value in, you know, sending. So, and like, you obviously we get, and even back, being back in Dublin now, I'm getting a lot more pure mail, and I've started even turning down. So obviously since I've been announced I'm pregnant, like every baby business wants to send me stuff, and I'm like, I only live in an apartment, like I need to.
I know. Yeah. I
actually, and obviously that sounds so ungrateful, but
it's not.
I think
that's actually with pure send outs, a business will so appreciate you not accepting something.
Yeah, that's, if I mean, it's, I don't want them to waste to you, their.
It's, that's wastage. If if it's not going to be of use to you, why would you accept it? Yeah. I believe the PR agency should all be checking before they send anything out, because it's an assumption that they think you just want this.
Yeah. And again, because I'm thinking of my followers, I'm like, yeah, like there's no harm in them sending. Like one day last week, I had maybe 3 or 4 things that had been sent on one day. And it brought me back to the days of like blogger mail, you know, when we'd open up all the stuff on Snapchat. And I just don't, I think my followers don't want to see that. But then at the same time, I'm like, oh, I feel bad. This small Irish business has sent me this.
Yeah, but what you have to remember is this is your business.
Yeah.
So your followers, your content, that's your business. You choose. You are the owner of that content, of what you put out there. If a brand has chosen to send you something without checking if you want it, that's their business.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the time, I mean, they do normally, because obviously they have to ask for my address. So like, it's not, but obviously sometimes a PR agency just has my address and things will come. And I always think of like, who's living in my old apartment in Swords from years ago, because I used to get so much stuff there. So if a business sends me stuff, but I'd be very hesitant if they say, hey, can we send you this and you'll post about it? I always have to say, no, you can send it to me, but I won't post about it obviously if there's an option for an official collaboration, but even if it's something really small, and I can't guarantee I'll post about it. I need to use it and see if it's worth talking about to my followers.
Yeah. I mean, I personally, how I see press send-outs are an opportunity for a creator or an influencer to use a product. And in an ideal world, that becomes a product that they actually really enjoy using and becomes part of their maybe daily routine or weekly routine. And then an organic mention to be like, actually, guys, I cannot wait to share this with you because it's so bloody good.
Yeah.
So that's how I see it. Well, from Running Mantra, when I send out PR pieces to creators, that's what I want. I'm not worried if I don't see, if I send a pair of sunglasses out to a creator, I'm not waiting for that mention because maybe she got them, maybe they didn't suit her face, maybe she actually, maybe there's been no sunshine where she lives, maybe she's going on holidays next week and she's waiting for that holiday to pack them and bring them and enjoy them in this new environment. So it doesn't, I'm not waiting for mentions, but I do think some brands are when they're sending out product, and that's probably a little bit of naivety in how the industry works. It's not really how it works.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like a lot of the time I do mention it in some way. If, again, if I think it's worth, if I think my followers would actually want to hear about it.
Yeah.
You know, again, I do think it's, I don't owe, I don't feel obliged just because it's sent to me. I do know that they're not just being nice to me. Yeah. They obviously see me as a marketing tool. But let's talk about Mantra, because I'm really interested. I mean, even looking at Suzanne Jackson and Growing So Sue, and like using, I suppose, having an audience, but where do you, like, to have then a proper viable business? It's like, where do you even begin?
Where, good question. Where do you begin? So 23 and Mantra Official are two different businesses because one is service based and one is product based. So starting Mantra Official was a much bigger risk, really, because we had to put capital investment into it to buy the first stock. So making it viable is you're trying to develop a business plan whereby you will have a profit margin.
And that sounds exactly what your background was. Like, you know, obviously Suzanne probably, I mean, you like to keep yourself in the background. I mean, you're not the face of it, but having, it's yourself, Suzanne and Terry.
And Terry, yes.
And obviously that's great because then you have attention, but then obviously you need the business acumen in the background to like, let's,
so business,
I mean, obviously they have that as well, but I mean, that's where your strengths come in.
That's my passion. So after I'd started 23, I was so enjoying it so much, but I definitely quickly missed product. Like I missed developing product and seeing product come to market. I see another opportunity to do that alongside 23, which was probably a little bit naive at the time, to be honest.
I mean, because, young baby.
I was pregnant. Right. I was heavily pregnant with my daughter Zoe when we decided to start developing the product for Mantra. To be honest, though, it wasn't a given that we were definitely going to do it. I wanted to explore doing it. We decided on footwear as the first category. So we started developing it, but we only really made the decision to really go for it when we received the second round of samples. And we were so happy with the quality, the look and the feel. And it got that excitement burning in us. So we were like, let's do it.
And how do you find, this is, you know, getting to the nitty gritty, but how do you find suppliers? Like, I'm just thinking, like, if I wanted to launch something now, it's like, how do you find, you know, because I see people getting slated for like bringing things in from China. And like, everyone has a supplier somewhere. I don't see the...
So, well, obviously my background was... So I have lots of connections and I know loads of people in that industry. So actually, would you believe my first supplier who I still work with is a woman who I worked with in Primark.
Oh.
So she also had gone out and started her own business offering. She's a designer / agency for the footwear industry. So she has a network of manufacturers all across Europe, China, India. I went to her with what I wanted to develop and we went from there. So, and then there's trade shows. So Lake Garda for footwear is really important. So there's...
Poor thing, having to travel all the way down there.
I know. Do you know what? It's funny. When I worked in Primark, we did lots of Far East trips and you're always on and off a plane, whether it's like comp shopping, going to your store visits and then developing product. But actually after a while that becomes, you know, it does lose its novelty.
Yeah,
it does. Yeah. And now that I have Zoe at home, like I don't want to be getting on and off a plane all the time.
Yeah. So I only saw you doing that one trip down to Lake Garda. I was like, look at her Cabinet Supplies down there is a good choice of supplier. And then making it distribution. Where does that, you had all these connections.
We're B2C, so we're just customer. So we're online, e-com only. So we're not wholesaling Mantra Official out to anybody. So if you want to purchase our products, it's just through our website. So I use Shopify as a platform. Absolutely incredible tool for any e-commerce business. You know, if I wanted to start Mantra 20 years ago, very different story. Yeah. Very different. Even 10 years ago, not as easy. And not to say it's easy. There's so many more complexities with running a business. But to have a tool like Shopify to be able to start your store and to have a storefront. Now, obviously, we have to customize it and we have to make it designed and aesthetic. And that's part I love. But yeah, so Shopify is essentially our distribution because we don't sell to other retailers. So you're not going to find us in a footwear shop down the country. Long term, would I like to have retail? Yes, we're currently looking at, and we have been looking at pop-up spaces and things like that. But we will do it ourselves because that's margin. So we're trying to give the best margin to our customer for a really nice quality product.
Yeah.
So if I was to go down the wholesale route, it would mean we have to build in more margin for another retailer. So that drives the price of the product up.
Yeah.
And whilst I fully believe in the quality of our products, I want to give the best price I can for that quality. So that means...
And this is where your financial analyst background comes into it. Like you can do all these forecasts and look at the costs.
Don't get me wrong. There's plenty of people helping on this. So like my husband is an accountant. We met in college. He's part of the businesses now. He mostly works for 23 or with 23. But he helps me on the Mantra side, and then Paula is our accountant for Mantra, and she helps me on the financials. She's like my merchandiser, I suppose. If we were back in pennies, I'm the buyer. She's reminding me, do you need that? Do you definitely need that? So yeah, it's a whole team.
Very good. And do you find, or do you like, is a stock in Ireland and then it's distributed? Like,
So we land our stock into, we have a warehouse facility, which we outsource that to a fulfillment company out in Ballycoolan. And so the stock lands into them. One of us will pop out and check that stock. It'll already have been through QC and everything before it leaves the factories. But we'll go out, check everything. And then before we launch, then we know we're good to go. So then we'll they also do our fulfillment of orders. So if I put an order in for you right now, if I put it in now, it's, 9:30 in the morning, it'll dispatch today. You'll have it here today, tomorrow. Sorry, you'll have it tomorrow.
don't make too many big promises.
Yeah, but via DPD. So yeah, again, outsource that element of the business. And actually at the start, when we were starting Mantra, I contemplated starting our own fulfillment center, just taking a small warehouse space and, hiring one or two people to do it. And at the time, I was thinking that would be cost control, but actually warehouse fulfillment operations of your stock is such a skill set. So you're just better off outsourcing that.
Yeah.
And then you get to focus on the elements of the business that you're good at. So like I love the product development, the marketing, the business side of things, the planning, the budgeting. So that's done and dusted and I can focus on what I'm good at.
Brilliant. And what would you find, what is the biggest struggle that you find day to day in business?
The ups and downs. So you'll have a big win. So we launched our sunglasses summer collection last Thursday. And like, that's a lovely moment. We've worked on this photo shoot and we've worked with a beautiful creative team. We're so proud of the output we have. We get to put that out in the world and then we see the sales start to come in from that quite quickly. And that is so, so nice. And then I'll go to the office now after this. And who knows what's in that inbox? Who knows what the next problem is? Who knows where, maybe there's a stock delay or maybe there's a QC issue on stock that was on a production line and we now have to wait, fix that, turn that around. There's impact then to your forecasted sales. So the ups and downs are the hardest part of running your own business.
I was going to say, what's the best part? But you answered them both in that one question.
Yeah, it's the, I think I, being an entrepreneur, I suppose for the want of a better word. I think I always knew I wanted to be one, but I didn't know what that meant. So when I was about 12, I used to imagine myself like going to an office and like in my like office clothes and my high heels. But it was, again, what did that look like? What job was I going to do? And now I know that this is what I was meant to do. I was meant to run my own companies. And I, the best part for me is the relationships in everything. So in 23 or in Mantra, like the fundamental that drives me is the relationship building, whether that's the talent and the brand in 23 or whether in Mantra, that's the creative people I get to collaborate with. So, you know, I work with fab people. Our last shoot, we had Alex Hutchinson on photography. The amazing James O'Connor does our videography. Aideen Feely is our creative director. And we get to sit down and brainstorm what's this shoot going to look like. And that's what drives me. Other people's opinions, other people's creativity, and then getting to see it all come to life.
Oh, you're hyping me up here. I'm like, I want to start. Because it's always been something that someone, you know, like people always suggested, like, would you ever bring out your own product? But I think one time I worked with a guy who was launching his own leggings and I saw how much work involved. And I was working with my protein at the time. And I was like, it's just easier for me to, you know, talk about a brand that is already there. And but I can see now, I'm like,
it's passion.
Yeah, I'm like, I can see the enjoyment you get out of it.
You have to have the passion to keep picking yourself back up after the downs. So I remember last October, myself and Owen were in Barcelona for a midweek break, and I think it had been our first break on our own without Zoe for like a year. And for one of the days, we're sat in the hotel room going back and forth with our supplier in Spain, arguing about the delays on the stock and then the knock-on effects that has on your marketing plans. And Owen is saying, the sun's shining outside. I was like, I know, but we got to get this done. If we don't have the passion to keep that going, it's really hard to get over the lows.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing you don't see. You see like maybe going off on holidays and working from anywhere, but like realistically people, you know, and being an entrepreneur isn't for everyone, you know, and I think there is this, it is obviously glorified online to run your own business, but I have friends that are very happy and very successful in, like, they work in big companies and they are working jobs that they're passionate about. And I think there obviously is a lot of risk involved when you're an entrepreneur. And I think the more you do it, obviously, the less, I mean, I suppose you can manage risk better, the more experience you have.
I mean, the
more,
risk suppose, always stays.
Yeah, but I suppose you can hedge it. Even having like two different businesses, you know, you're hedged a little bit.
Yeah.
What would you say to someone who's like thinking of starting their own business? You know, maybe they're working for somebody now and they're thinking of branching out.
I think
they're kind of scared. I think money is obviously the biggest thing that scares people.
Yeah, I think sit with yourself and ask yourself the question, am I willing to work all the hours God sends and potentially not get paid for a while? Do I truly believe I have the passion for it? Because it's not for everybody. It's absolutely not for everybody. And I feel like what you say, it's glorified online to be an entrepreneur and to run your own businesses. And actually in Ireland, we have a huge like community of entrepreneurs. It's growing all the time. And we are excellent at it because we adapt and we're ambitious, especially our age group of millennials, like, honestly. what was your question?
Yeah, advice to people starting.
Oh, like advice, yeah. Just don't jump in unless you truly know in your heart that it's probably the right move for you.
Yeah.
Like, I think you can ask yourself the question and you'll know.
Yeah, like what you were just saying there about our, like, the millennials and it's the Gary Vee era, you know, like watching his YouTube videos probably over the last, maybe six or seven years ago. And he's all like, hustle, 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 especially in your 20s, you know, and I remember, you know, he's always said, you know, if you're sitting around watching Lost, you have more time, you have the time to have a side hustle. And I was really like that when I started, even like to train as a PT and trying to build my business.
Yeah,
I was working every hour under the sun. I was training, you know, 5 a.m. all that. And I got to a point though where I was like, actually I don't really want to work that hard anymore. Like,
yeah. And that's okay.
Yeah, I know. And I kind of was like, maybe I just actually want to watch Lost.
Yeah.
You know, and because I had probably been sharing his ideas, you know, been like, hustle, hustle, hustle. I'm wondering why everyone else wasn't hustling. And I'm like, it's actually okay if you don't want to.
It's human nature to need time, like, just for, to recoup.
Yeah.
You know, I am not on all the time. And I've taught myself that over the years. And it's okay to take a break. It's okay to go on a holiday. Like, yes, it might mean you need to delegate to somebody else in your business so to make sure things are covered. But it's okay to take time off. It's okay to relax, you know.
And actually, that's probably what I'll finish up asking you. How do you manage having a baby? Or having, well, it's not a baby anymore.
Yeah, she's two.
How do you balance motherhood? And actually, just before you answer that, I listened to Katie Piper speaking about it recently, and she was really honest about it. She was like, something always suffers a bit. And she's like, I'm talking about how online it looks like we do it all, you know, in terms of having kids and businesses. And she's like, but they go through phases of, like, you know, she's like, oh yeah, my kids don't have, aren't speaking to me because I haven't been around for and I think everyone appreciated the honesty, and I think that's, but there's obviously mom guilt. Is that a thing?
Mom guilt is real. And I found that the mom guilt just happened the second she was born.
Right.
I don't know. It was just instantly there. But I think I'm a pragmatic person. So I, you know, I remind myself of why we're doing things and what we're doing. And I make sure that in my week, there is, my Saturdays and Sundays are for Zoe.
Yeah.
So pick her up from creche on Friday at 4:30. And that is it. Then unless there's something that has, you know, unless it's a girls' weekend, like a hen weekend or something that I can't get out of, then the weekends are for her. So how I manage it all is, my husband is in our businesses. So we are blessed to have the flexibility to manage our workload week to week. So even for drop-offs and pickups for creche, we work really well on that together. And then before she started creche, so she's there a year now, but before that, my mom was integral. So she basically would come up to my house she would drive 2 hours from Cavan up to our house every single week.
Wow.
And stay and mind Zoe 2-3 days a week so that I could go back to work quite quickly after having her. And that's not right for everybody. It was just right for me. At the time, I was developing Mantra, and I had hired Katie, who works in 23, and she was the first person to work for 23 apart from myself. And 23 was my baby, so I wanted to get back and support her in her new role whilst also getting Mantra off the ground. So I needed help. So you have to, if you want to run your own businesses, be a mom, you have to be okay to ask for help and take the help when you can get it.
Yeah. Noted.
Yeah.
When I launched this new product business that I haven't thought of yet.
Yeah. No, honestly, I think it's amazing that you're here in Dublin before you have your baby, because we were talking before the podcast that you're going to be so close to your mom and dad. They're going to be able to help. Like, it's amazing.
I do feel very lucky because obviously my sister's in Portugal and I'm like, oh, I'm so lucky. Like, my mom and dad are so close. And they seem excited to help, which...
Take all the help.
Yeah, and his mom as well is really excited. Yeah. So, like, we're very lucky to be, you know, to be surrounded by good family.
Day by day. Like, on a Sunday, I try to sit down and plan out, like, the next 7 days. Sometimes it's 14 days, roughly. Like, not, like, obviously there's flexibility, but I'll roughly, like, Owen and I will talk, like, when do you want to go to the gym? Are you going for a run that night? I want to go to a class that morning. Okay, I'll do that drop off. I'll do this pick up. So it's high level of organization.
Yeah, I have to start implementing that now. Yeah. I'm just winging it.
Yeah. I also say, like, I feel like I've winged my whole career. Like, sometimes people say, oh my god, you're doing X, Y, and Z, and I just think, am I? It just feels like I'm still, I don't know, just day by day, and celebrate the small wins when you can get them and just keep going.
Yeah, you're doing so well. That's why I wanted to have you on for this chat. It's really interesting. So we'll wrap it up there. Thank you so much for your time. And if anyone, obviously Mantra Official.
MantraOfficial.com. Yeah. 23theagency.com.
If you want to work with me or any influencers. Or even, obviously, you do PR and marketing now as well.
We do. We have PR marketing services. The charismatic Mark Rogers joined the business there at the start of the year, and we're offering that under 23 as well. And again, great friend of mine who really championed me in starting 23. So again, another full circle moment for him to now be a director in the business.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah. So if you're a brand or anything, get in touch with 23.
Yeah.
Right. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Siobhan. Appreciate it.
So thank you so much for listening to that whole episode. I hope you found it interesting. If you did, it would mean so much to me if you just hit a 5-star review on wherever you are listening. It will help the podcast grow and get more guests on. And of course, again, if you made it to the end of the episode and you are interested in joining the furnace, you can use the code LIFELESSONS to get a big discount. And lastly, the lovely flowstate.ie, which is the beautiful yoga equipment I have, the mat and the band and the blocks, which have really helped me in pregnancy when I can't reach my toes. You can get a discount on their website, and the discount for that one is LIFELESSONS30 on flowstate.ie. And thanks again. I'll see you in the next episode.